ticket. Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And good morning, my people. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Leach and crowd. Good morning. Another edition of the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The ticket, Matt Leach. How you doing this morning? Doing all right?
Doing great, my man. I was a little worried.
I
thought it was going to catch up to me finally here today, and I'm kicking and screaming, ready to go.
It's the last day, Matt. Last day. Last day is the easiest day. This is your Friday, at least for the morning.
I wish.
For the morning, it's your Friday.
Uh-huh.
You know, tomorrow, it'll be a regular wake-up day for you, which is outstanding.
I am looking.
Happy for you. You should see Matt at the end of the show. It's like, man, I'm about to go. Lay down, curl up in the bed.
Oh, man. Miz walked in here at about 5:45 or whatever it was, and I told him, I said, man, I am just counting down those minutes.
Well,
I could not wait to get out of here and crawl back in bed yesterday. But, Sam, I have to admit, man, it has been a pleasure joining you here these past few mornings. It is nice doing a show with somebody who is fully clothed. Throughout the telecast.
You know, it was one of those days where if you took a nap in the afternoon, boy, a lot happened. You know, as the sad news for Michigan, or the unfortunate news for Michigan, they had to dismiss a member of the team and sophomore running back Omari Samuels, charged with domestic abuse. Charge, not yet. Convicted, but you know, whatever investigation they did, talking about, you know, Jim and the program, whatever they did, whatever they found even prior to the trial, was enough for Jim to say, look, we need to move on. If you go back to his time with the 49ers, and even if you look at the way that he's handled the disciplinary action here. You know, especially when it came to the, I remember Nate Johnson, you know, former receiver, I had a charge, and it was like, you know, very, very quick, very swift.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Logan Tooley Tillman deal with the not a physical abuse case, but a, you know, there was like a you know, some extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
He filmed allegedly filmed a girl without her knowing about it, and he was dismissed very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not much leeway, and it's not like an accusation. Then I don't think an accusation is tantamount to guilt, because if that were the case, then Grant Perry would have gotten kicked off the team when he had his
mm-hmm.
when he had his charge eventually. You know, that case was dealt with, but he dealt with the suspension by Michigan based on their internal investigation at the time, and
mm-hmm.
he kept on after sitting some time out based on the you know, the seriousness of his charge. He was allowed back onto the team, so not a total, you know, not like a charge or an allegation is tantamount to guilt, but if there's any inkling. That the charges or accusations are true, they move very, very swiftly. So that was the case for Omari Samuels, who you know, just the trial. Don't know what the timeline is for trial, but he has court in front of him, and then once he deals with that, he'll see how he can go about moving on with his collegiate and maybe playing career elsewhere. We'll see. The other news is much more positive and upbeat for Michigan, and that's Don Brown. Just as we were leaving the show yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Leach, we talked about a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com, that the Temple football coaching position was very, very quickly going to reach its conclusion. And one of the candidates was none other than Michigan defensive coordinator Don Brown. Donnie Brown, Philadelphia. This is, you know, that northeast part of the country, his neck of the woods. Those are his stomping grounds. So I mean, you could see why it had some appeal. And appeal to a guy, and this is something that we've talked about for a long time, or for at least as long as Don Brown has been here. You know, he is disinterested in all of the other things that head football coaches have to do. I mean, not to say that those things are bad, but this is he wants to focus his attention, his energy, his time on coaching the team. As a head football coach, you're doing much more than just coach the team, right? Not only do you have more media avails that you have to take care of, you have alumni events that you have to attend, speaking engagements that you have to take care of. I mean, there are university engagements that you have to be a part of. There's so many other things to being a head football coach that, you know, if you're only interested in just coaching, say, man, you don't want to be a head coach. So can you, you know, be a coordinator at the highest level, get paid handsomely? No, he's in that position. He's in that tier of coordinators that are like head coaches. They're like head coaches. You know, it's like the 85 Bears. You familiar with 85 Bears? Matt, I know it's kind of like before your time.
I mean, it is the year before I was born. But, yes, I am very familiar with those 85 Bears.
So you had Mike Ditka, the head football coach. I'm sure that Jim, as a Chicago Bear guy, appreciate this. You have Mike Ditka as the head football coach, and you have Buddy Ryan running the defense. And it's like, it to me, it was much the same dynamic in that, you know, the autonomy defensively that Buddy Ryan had, the deference that he was afforded, even as an assistant. It's kind of like more than that. You know, he's almost like an associate head coach. It's not biased, but that's what it's like with the way that he runs the defense, the level of respect that the head coach bestows upon him. I see the same thing here with Donnie Brown. And so it's a big deal when he looks around. It has to be, and you know, that's a part that he's, I think, really embrace. Like, man, you know, these are my guys. I got to, you know, I can run a defense the way I want, given carte blanche to do that. And he's done it at a level at Michigan, while from a rankings perspective, it's on par with where he was. He's fielding more talent at every level of the defense than any place he's ever been. So this is like, you know, the height, the apex, the zenith, if you are a defensive coordinator, an assistant. You know, great talent, you know, nice salary, big time program. But then they come calling at a program in your stomping grounds, an opportunity to be a head coach. You listen, and he did, and he was one of the finalists. They wind up going with Manny Diaz. But I think part of going Manny Diaz, Matt, frankly, it was an age thing. It's my personal opinion on a matter. You know, I think that's one of the hurdles for Don once he finally gotten to the point where, hey man, he's in demand. There's no question in my mind that his name is being bandied about in athletic director circles. I had heard, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air, I had heard that Don's name was going to be very prominent in the mix at Purdue if Jeff Brohm had left. So that was the flip side. And it's, again, just heard. I'm qualifying it. I had heard. This was the talk.
Through that grapevine
out there. That he would have been a name that was very prominent in that mix had Jeff Brohm been, lured away by Louisville. And so that was the flip side of that Jeff Brohm leaving discussion that I didn't mention at the time. It's like, yeah, they might get George Karlaftis, but Donnie Brown might be, you know, he might be in the crosshairs for the Purdue Boilermakers. It is always going to be the case. Last year, Mississippi State made a run at Don as their defensive coordinator. You know, you know, with the defense deprived, some of the big time defensively, challenged programs out there, you know, in the offseason, they're like, man, what can we do? Let's look at the rankings. Kind of like what Jim did. Look at the rankings. Let's see if we can let our fingers do the walking a little bit. So, I mean, I have no doubt that there are some high-level Power 5 institutions that are interested in him as trying to lure him away as a coordinator. So this is where, if you're Michigan, and this is how I think this is going to play out, you make it so it's, the money that another program from a coordinator perspective could dangle at him is not a consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a consideration. So give me a school out there that you think has long money, has no defense, and they were coming down. Give me a school. Throw it at me.
Texas A&M.
So Texas A&M, they have their coordinator. He was up for the Temple job. Pulled his name out. Temple folks said he wasn't going to get it, so he pulled out. But that's what happened with it. So give me another one.
Texas? What about right down the road?
All right, so let's just go with Texas. All right? I can see that.
They've been struggling. They've been looking. They feel, I mean, how many times have you heard it, Sam, where those Texas fans are just college football fans in general? Oh, Texas is back. Win over Oklahoma, Texas is back. Texas is back. So that's a team where they're close. They might just need that little push over the edge where it's not going to take 8 years to build a program there. I mean, obviously they've got talent where they think, hey, we could bring coach in. If we were going to bring an older coach in, they could be successful right away and not something where we have to worry about age being a factor.
Yeah, so I'll go for that. Even though they have a DC, but, they have long money. They could move some things around. I can see that happening. So, they come at him with what? $2 million? I think the highest defensive coordinator salary is maybe a shade over $2 million.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, that is, if you're Michigan, you're in a position to make it so that doesn't appeal to Don Brown. And I think they'll do that. I think he has proven himself to be elite. I think that you see the way that the players, he relates to the players on the team, how he is in the locker room here. Guys love him. I say guys love Don Brown. Matt, man. I mean, the level of appreciation that these guys have for Don Brown. That's how as a coach, I imagine you want it to be. They love him. And so, he has that too. That's big. I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're looking at it. Oh, man, that's not to say that anyone is irreplaceable, but that's something that would be hard to replace. Not irreplaceable, hard to replace. So if you can lock that up, you do it. And I don't expect that to be money to be an issue. A consideration. You make it so no other coordinator job has a chance. That you don't lose him to another coordinator position. I think Michigan will put itself in a position to do that. And probably, I think it will probably be the case, after this, because I said to someone the other day, he said, well, maybe he was just looking around to posture, to purely out of positioning for leverage and contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. To me, you don't engage. This is my opinion on the matter. You don't engage in or you don't entertain an opportunity like this at this time unless you're serious. I mean, the timing of it almost demands that you be serious, mm-hmm. because of the impact that it'll have on a team preparing for a bowl game. I mean, imagine, those guys that love you. I like coach. I mean, you understand that, coaches have they have a career path too. They have to do what's best for them, just like guys who sit out a bowl game, right?
You understand, but it doesn't make it hurt any less.
You're right. But just like these guys that are sitting out the bowl game, the team, they might be disappointed. They might say, man, Man, it's not playing. But you understand. But still, mm-hmm. it does have somewhat of an impact that guys have to get over.
Some ramifications. Yeah,
so those you got those guys in the locker room that love you, that sell out for you. It's like, man, coach, I get it, but man. So you got that to get over. You have recruiting. And you know, I can tell you for a fact, as soon as the Don Brown news hit, we'll get into this in the recruiting roundup. I was talking to Kalen DeLoach's dad right now, last night, four-star linebacker prospect from Savannah, Georgia, committed to Florida State. As soon as the Don Brown news hit, Florida State was on the phone with Kalen DeLoach and said, hey, you guys see what's up with Don Brown? See that Don Brown at Temple? Hey, man, it was quick. And so spread that out over all the defensive recruits. And you can, it's not like I talked to all the guys. Haven't talked to all the guys in the class. But, or all the targets, you mean to tell me? You don't think Ohio State called up Zach Harris? Is like, Zach, Don Brown. You don't think they, come on now.
You want to play for that defense? Come on. The coach isn't even going to be there next year.
Come on. You know what happened. So that's why I said, you don't entertain, you know, it's an opportunity. You don't entertain, you know, going through this process or engaging in this process if you aren't serious because of the ramifications in your current job. Right? So if you're going to do it, be serious about it. And I think he was. But I really think that, you know, as things move forward with Michigan, I don't know what the timeline is, the timing is as far as their, you know, engaging him in discussions about an extension. But I think it'll also be the case that it will, you know, as that comes to its conclusion here with Michigan, those negotiations, it will certainly knock the other defensive coordinator positions out of the box. And I think it also will make these tier two offers where your salary would be pretty much the same. Like you go to what did Manny, I don't know what Manny Diaz, what the contract terms were rumored to be, because I don't think there's any consummation of a deal or anything overnight. Just he's expected to be named, hired as the football coach. But he's going to make about $2 million? $2 million? $2.5?
Somewhere right around there.
You can make that as a coordinator. There are places you can make that as a coordinator. I think he'll be in that range. You know, somewhere in that range. And Michigan's certainly making more than what he's made the first few years here on the job. And that will, I mean, again, if you can stay away from those extra coaching responsibilities, have that autonomy as a coordinator that he's afforded, that level of respect and deference that he gets, be that have those locker room relationships where, as I said, the adulation is on a level that coaches, I mean, that's the way you want, that's the way you dial it up. That's what you dream about, man, to have that kind of bond with your guys, kind of love and respect for your guys like that which he has here. Get all those things wrapped up and you have a salary that's, you know, on par with, you know, a head coaching salary at a tier two power five school. It's like, okay. Now I think you start knocking even those opportunities out of the box at this stage of his coaching career. Because to get back to the point I was making at the beginning, I think that came into play with Temple. I think the age thing is a thing for a lot of schools where what is Donnie Brown, 63, 64? He doesn't, I mean, you wouldn't know that to talk to him, right? You wouldn't know that by the way he relates to his guys. I mean, Michigan has the luxury of having, you know, a few older coaches on the staff that coach much younger, act much younger, you know, relate in a way with players better than, you know, a lot of coaches that are younger than them. And I'm talking about Don Brown and Greg Madison. I mean, it's, you know, you just hope those guys keep keep, you know, dipping, you know, running their heads under the fountain of youth, right?
I hope at 63 I've got that much fire.
Right, drinking from the fountain of youth. You hope they continue to do that because, again, a couple of guys that are really outstanding when it comes to relating to their guys, they still coach extremely well and they still can get out there and recruit. So, you know, I think while this was, you know, this gets you over a significant hurdle. If you're Michigan, there's still one to clear, and that's getting him, you know, secured. I don't think the status quo is not going to cut it. Status quo is not going to cut it, Matty Leach.
Do you think, because unless I'm wrong, isn't Brent Venables down at Clemson? Isn't he the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country?
You know, I don't know. We can look that up in the break, okay, and we can do some, you know, some comparisons.
Okay,
because as far as assistant coaches are concerned,
yeah, I believe that he was. I believe he is, and I think he's just over 2 a year. I think,
and you know what,
2.3 a year, something like that.
As you mentioned that, you know what's really interesting. Like, I feel like we don't hear Brent Venables' name with a lot of head coaching searches. Do you feel? It just kind of seems that
same
way.
Same thing with Don Brown. And once you mentioned the age thing yesterday, because, you know, I think that was the first thing that I brought up was, I'm surprised that we don't hear Don Brown's name a little bit more. And you had mentioned the age, and as soon as you said that, okay, that makes some sense. But yeah, with Venables, and I don't know exactly how old he is, but I think he's a little younger.
Oh yeah.
But I think that might be the reason why it seems like him and Dabo have a strong relationship. And then again, how many times, even if he was the head coach at even Power 5 schools, not if he went and coached in the MAC or, you know, the Mountain West or something, but Power 5 schools, he wouldn't be making that much money.
Right, exactly. That's it. You know, a tier two, you know, Power 5 school, that's about what you're going to get, somewhere in the $2 million, $2.5 million range.
Much does Fitzgerald make down at Northwestern?
I think he makes more than that. But it's not, I mean, he's not making a ton.
I wouldn't imagine a whole lot more, but.
You know, I bet you he's making, you know, somewhere, I bet he's making about $3 million, $4 million, Pat Fitzgerald. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But Brent Venables, 47 years old. 47 years old. So he's like, man, you would think that guy, you know, every head coaching post that came up, you know, he would be the guy to mix. But again, he makes, to your point, you know, a salary that is, you know, back in 2017, he was the second highest paid assistant at $1.7 million. And this is from his wiki page. So this, you know, I don't know how accurate this is. This mm-hmm. is from his wiki page. But it said, as of December 6, 2017, he was making $1.7 million. Another coach in the down south, Dave Aranda, who was formerly at Wisconsin, went to LSU, was paid $1.8 million. But then I think Dave Aranda this past year moved up over two. And I think Brent Venables did as well.
Venables did as well because his deal, and I don't have, this is from Sports Business Nation, a 5-year, $11.6 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Right.
So and I did look, Pat Fitzgerald is just over $3 million. So less than a half a million, or, yeah, you know, right around a half a million dollar difference. And again, the difference in responsibilities and obligations, because there are still plenty for that defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
It's not an easy job, or, you know, believe me, you still have your amount of media requirements and different things like that, school appearances, athletic department appearances. But when you're the head guy, oh, man, it's double, triple that at least.
Right, which is what he said on multiple occasions, he could do without that. He's experienced it. I don't want to do that one again.
A lot of the coaches, that's the part of the job that they don't
right.
like, that they'd rather not have to deal with. They just want to coach.
And this is at the Power 5 level that we're talking about, whereas that wasn't the case when he was in that post before. All right, we got to get to a break. 734-998-1050 is the phone number. We're going to tell you about a special opportunity for you listeners here at Sports Talk 1050 WTK, an opportunity to be a winner, to win an Up North getaway We'll tell you all about it on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.